Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. You are listening to the Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. Your host tonight will be Maria Ellis.
And Aline Reed. Glad to have you with us.
So first, we want to just start off being thankful for another day, for the audience that's listening or calling in, those that have information to share, and those of us who are just, you know, absorb some of the information that is brought on the show. So tonight, we have a show, and the show's title is Building Black Love. So last week, we talked about the Black Superman.
Yes, we did.
And the week before, we discussed the Black Superwoman. Mm-hmm. We discussed the origins, which generate back to slavery.
Right.
And the different abuses, the different methods used to break both the spirit of Black men and women.
Just breaking their families.
Yes. Yes, and they didn't. We also talked about them not going after just someone who may have been physically or mentally weak. These were people and men that were physically strong, mentally strong, skilled, and what more effective way to minimize and diminish their value as a person, as a human being, than to demean, whip, break them, put laws into place that would make us less than human on a piece of paper, and destroy and dismantle the Black family. And tonight, what we go into is Black love. And when we say building Black love, we're not speaking about just an intimate kind of love. We're speaking about our love for one another, love for our people, love for our women, our children,
our communities,
and one another. So, and we also are talking about a relationship, an intimate building Black love in a relationship, because when we know when there's an absence of love and the characteristics that and actions that go with love, that we get abuse.
Yes.
And we get hate.
And hate. And there's so much going on with the Black psyche, because if you are taught to dislike yourself, not trust yourself or your judgments, and you are angry at yourself, I've heard the definition that depression is anger turned inwards. So if you are an angry person, an angry Black man, angry Black woman, you know, who are you going to strike out at if you are not just taking it out on yourself with self-abuse? You're going to strike out to people close to you. So then you've got domestic violence, you've got child abuse, elder abuse in some cases. And so we want to talk about repairing that, applying a balm and a salve to that, and how to regenerate what has might have been lost.
Absolutely. So, in the community, I hear a lot of times we talk about Black on Black crime. We talk about Black on Black hate. We talk about our challenges of being able to be united. Mm-hmm. We talk about the challenges of actually supporting one another. And what the question that comes out is, do we even love ourselves?
Mm.
Like, we know that love starts with, you know, loving ourselves and the Creator, you know, God. I believe that He put us, each and every person, here for a purpose, and it is to you know, spread love. It's not easy to love sometimes.
It's not. And, you know, Maria, as you were making that statement, it made me think about the pandemic that's going on right now and how it's hitting our community, Latino community, hard hit, and mostly because of the underlying things that go on in our lives with health. So we've got obesity, we've got high blood pressure, we've got cholesterol, we have all these things that are endemic to our culture, and that is fueling a lot of the death that's happening, not to mention the fact that a lot of us are frontline workers,
right,
and we have to be out there in public. So what does self-love look like in the midst of this pandemic? And what does self-love look like on a day-to-day basis? I was just sharing with Sister Maria that I was supposed to be fasting today. Well, that didn't happen. But, you know, that was one of the things that I used to do to just give my body a chance to rest and not just keep it filled with food to be digested, to give it a chance to empty it out and then flush it with healthy liquids. And so what does self-love look like? It means that we need to take better care of ourselves and to be good examples for young people in our lives.
Absolutely.
So it's difficult. And when you have 10 things you've got to do every day without that relentless, it's difficult to remember to take good care of ourselves. It's hard to make it a habit, but that's what we have to do. I think Reverend Harris has been a really good role model so far as eating better and going to the gym and working out, things like that. But anyway, Sister Maria is going to be talking about this self-love and self-hatred, and where does that all come from?
Yes. So, in the 1940s, two doctors, a married couple, Mammy and Kenneth Clark, did a series of experiments called the doll experiment. And so that experiment and the results of that experiment helped with the Brown versus Board of Education decision to integrate schools, because it really highlighted at how young we form our self-identities and how we feel about ourselves and our self-identity. Mm-hmm. So I have the experiment has been created many, many times. And unfortunately and sadly, the results decade after decade have been the same. Mm-hmm. So to me, this speaks to Black love and how early we start forming our perceptions of the characteristics about ourselves that we like or dislike, and how we see white people in the eye of a child, which is innocent. So I'm going to pull up the video. It's really short, and just let you guys
really short, really powerful.
Yes, and let you guys just see this clip.
Me, Black Doll. Which one is Black Doll? Which doll is it? All is all. All is the Black Doll. And which one is the White Doll? Which doll is the pretty doll? Which doll is the nice doll? Which doll is the bad doll? Which doll is the nice doll? Which doll is the bad doll? And why is that doll pretty?
Because she's white and yellow.
Which doll is the ugly doll? Why is that doll ugly?
Because he's black.
Which doll looks most like you?
Me?
Yeah, which one looks like you?
And that one.
Wow, Cecilia. even after all these years, that still hits me in the gut and makes me grateful, you know, that I have family members who are willing to look for black dolls in the 60s, which was not that easy, y'all. We're talking about back in the day. So, wow.
Yeah. So, as young as 4, 5 years old, our black children are already developing their self-identity. Yeah. And as you saw in the video, they contributed negative things like the doll being ugly. In the original experiment, they talked about characteristics of the doll, that the doll was mean. The doll, you know, they wouldn't want to be that doll's friend. So many just disheartening things.
And the children get bombarded with a lot of things in the media through advertising and things like that. And, you know, things are a lot different now. People are more progressive. But, you know, when I was growing up, you saw a lot of negative things in ads and things like that. So they've gotten some better. But what kind of ads are the children seeing now? Now ads are more structured for a particular ethnic group. But when it wasn't, white people were considered the gold standard. And some of you might be familiar with Toni Morrison's book, The Bluest Eye, which is a heartbreaking book, but many of us can relate to it, where Pecola Vitla, the young girl protagonist, you know, goes insane for her want of blue eyes and blonde hair. And so this is very, very important, what we're talking about, to reinforce self-love in our children. But that means we have to model that in ourselves.
We have to be modeled. So the call-in number tonight, if you'd like to call in to speak or listen, we have a caller on the line that I'm going to bring in. The call-in number for tonight's show is area code 516-387-1474. 516-387-1474. So I'm going to go to our caller, last 4 digits of the phone number, 3205. Hello, caller 3205.
Go ahead.
Dr. Harris, Black Lives
Matter.
Hey, now.
Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
How y'all doing?
We are doing well.
How are you?
First of all, let me just say how proud I am of you two. not only to tackle this topic, but to do it in such an eloquent manner and to actually go back and cover some of the ways they looked at us back in the day. Because, as you know, back then, very rarely were we given a spotlight at all.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, most of what you saw on television was white branded and white only. And only until the late 60s did we starting to see our own on television. And they weren't playing a mammy role or a butler role or some subservient role, or they were the bad guy. But one thing you did touch on, back then, people really did believe, you know, they bought into that thing that if it's black, it's whack. There's a problem. We were truly listed as the end all be all when it came to evil, death, and mayhem.
Mm.
And
caller, can I ask you a question? Do you think that the Black Arts Movement, where you had a lot of people like Ossie Davis, Ruby Dee, Claudia McNeil? Do you think the Black Arts, Lorraine Hansberry in her play, A Raisin in the Sun, do you think that that had a lot to do with changing the image of black folks in America?
Oh, yeah, it definitely did. And Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun was one of the most powerful things that could be done at that particular time.
At that time.
To be honest, I was really surprised when it actually got made into the movie with Sidney and Diana Sands, I'm telling you.
Right.
Even at a young age, that moved me because we didn't have it. Not in that role. We didn't
right.
get to win.
Right.
We didn't get to win in the movie. We didn't get to be the good guy.
We
had a role. We had a role to play. So to see that the way that played out in the performance
mm-hmm.
was, to be honest, uplifting, but it also, in a way, was kind of shocking because we were always guaranteed not to be
right.
the winner in that battle. Back in the early 60s and late 50s, when it came to a movie where there was black and white, you know, it was almost guaranteed that black folks weren't going to come out on top in a situation. That's
right.
not the way it was written.
Right. But that movie was a showcase for black love.
Yes, it was.
That's
all
black
it was.
Love.
And
mm-hmm.
when that came along, this was during the time when the Panthers start gaining a foothold. Julia was on TV. Now they're starting to get some more positive roles. And I got to tell you, when Julia was on television, Diane Carroll playing a nurse and a nurse of substance, that too was a big deal. Okay.
A lot of
everybody knew who Corey was.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Mark Kopich played her son. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, as a black man, I can remember the first time I seen Diana Ross in the Supremes on the Ed Sullivan Show. I can remember that. And I can remember us calling each other like, hey, man, are you watching this?
You have to contact,
hey,
it's black people on TV. It was a big deal.
It was a big deal. You
came in the house to watch black shows.
Black shows, black music, anything on TV.
It's still to this day is like that. We have our black shows and everything stops.
That's a way of showing black love. We support one another in the arts. People say even now when black movies come out, you know, they'll say, don't wait, go to see the movie the first week so, you know, you can get that big box office push and things like that. We're talking about
building black love. And, you know, the first question, I don't know if you were able to see the Mammy Clark the Doll experiment. Well, another.
Right, I've seen that before.
Version
I'm
of
familiar
it.
With that.
We know that we have these perceptions about ourselves that are negative, often at a young age. We know media plays into that, but we also know, you know, families working, not being able to maybe give the reinforcement they would want to give, not enough emphasis being put on the positive attributes of black folks. Even our statistics, we have 90% of black people never commit a violent crime in their whole lives. But on media, you would not believe that is so, you know. So What does black love look like? You know, what do we hate ourselves? And if we hate ourselves, why? What can we build? Because if you can grow to hate something, I also believe you can grow to love something.
Exactly. And one of the things you have to realize is in America, one of the first things ever done was this perception that there is this constant battle between the black woman and the black man. They will never get along.
Black woman and black man, yes.
They will never get along. They will always be at each other's throats. Well, okay, let's look at that honestly. Why are they? Because it was set in place to be. Okay? When the government decided to get involved in the black household, and if you put your man out, we will put you on welfare and take care of you. Okay? That's
so they begin to respect the system more than the man.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. That whole more than him.
But not only that.
Talk about that.
Exactly. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, we have had our share of generations who bought into that. But I can be honest to say, as much as they say there is no black love, I can tell you that that dog don't hunt. The devil is alive. There are many black couples who have been married for long times, raised stable families, turned out conducting children. Everybody black isn't that violent. I'm 61 years old. I do not have a criminal record. You won't find one. Ain't no need to look for one. I don't have one.
And who do you attribute
Anna
that
Jean
to?
Anna Jean and Henry Bullock didn't play that.
Who do you attribute that to, caller? Was it your upbringing? Was your mom and dad?
I honestly contribute that to my upbringing and the fact that I had stable people in my life.
Yes.
Who actually took the time to teach me right from wrong and to teach me how to love in a positive manner.
Okay, you just said love in a positive manner. Can you what are those positive manners? What are those manners?
For example,
love as an action and not just love as a word.
Right, exactly. For example, we're sitting down together at dinner as a family. We are discussing what went on during our day. Okay? My parents are out working hard to make sure we have what we need, so we ain't out there trying to steal something. We are taking to church on Sunday and taught certain things.
Right.
I'm surrounded by great uncles and great aunts who pass on what knowledge they have. Now, they don't have to spend that time, but they do because back then, your entire family was a unit. That's what they did. We didn't become that generation of, I wish you would speak to my kids until, like, say, the late 70s going into the early 80s. You know, that didn't start happening until, like, the late 70s, the early 80s.
Yeah.
So, when you got love for your family, you express that love. You show that love.
Right.
You know, you do the things to keep them moving in a positive manner. You ain't out there fighting and trying to pull each other's hair out.
Well, I think sometimes we get it mixed up about what's positive love in a positive way and tough love as opposed to abuse because, you know, my mom wasn't one to, she wasn't one to spank a lot, but when she got you, she really got you, and it was tough love. And she, you know, she loved us to pieces, and she let that be known. But she would get you. When she got you, you got it all. And like you, I don't have a criminal record either. But I think that now that so many people have been snared by the criminal justice system, it's time for us as a people to embrace whoever has gone astray for whatever reason, because we already know the justice system is unjust when it comes to black folks. And so we have to
embrace
a key word that said time. The time, spending time.
You know,
what's
back in the day,
from spending time that we used to spend,
you know what?
Like sitting down to eat together.
Exactly. And that's it. Here's the thing. In that time, I'm like this. If you can raise your voice to fuss at a child, you can raise your voice to praise a child. Okay?
That's right.
If you can make time to fuss at them, you can make time to bring them up.
So would you say it's fair to say that a balance, you know, we talk about the strict nature of how we brought up our children, you know, we disciplined them and so forth and so on. But you just said the same voice that you use to discipline is the same voice that you can use to praise and build up, which empowers a child, a person. I mean, you don't even have to be a child to feel built up by people talking about your positive views as opposed to only negative or only looking at what's wrong as opposed to, you know, other values.
Exactly.
Real quick, I don't know if anybody else has noticed this, but I know I have. We are a people who are very, very quick to criticize ourselves and others that look like us. Girl, what was she wearing? I know he didn't leave the house wearing that. You know, all these negative things. And sometimes I have to stop myself and say, you know what? You need to stop it. Stop it and put a positive spin on this. Look at all we have been as a people. We need to be embracing one another, and we make it hard on ourselves when we're always negative and find something to find fault with each other instead of, you know, just accepting and being our brother and our sister's keeper. So I just want to interject that, because criticism is easy to come by.
Exactly.
Well,
so
but you're right about that.
What does that black you talked about the time, spending time with one another. But what are those steps, like, you know, what can we do today? You know, I'm really big on things that don't always have to take years or so much time to attain.
Right.
And what can we do today, right now?
For example, you say, what do we do today? For example, most of you, I'm at that age now, I'm retired, but hey, you work a 9-to-5, you come in, you pull yourself together, you de-stress, then you deal with your younger one.
Mm.
Hey, how was your day? How did it go down today?
Mm-hmm.
They may have something positive to say, they may have something negative to say. If they got something negative to say, hey, your answer is, well, you know what? Let's see how we can fix that and make that better for the next time.
Mm.
Let's talk about this and see where we can go with it.
Right.
But see,
so
that's just it.
In the Mammy Clark video, you know, you had children as young as 4 years old saying, you know, the black doll is bad. You know, the black doll, you know, is ugly. Now, these were two identical dolls. The only thing that was changed on these dolls were the skin color. So, of course, one doll didn't.
And you know what that come from?
Different from the other, except for skin color.
And you have to remember, at that time frame, that came from that stereotype where everything presented to those children showed blackness in a negative light. This was during a time frame when
decade after decade, and still
exactly.
had the same results from 1940 up to
the results stay the same.
So, you know,
the results stay the same.
The children must be
but
seeing
think about
that
it. Even
in their home,
even right,
and see, and
even if the decades change,
right. Black self-hatred. I know in the early 90s, I worked for Upward Bound at Fresno State. And I'm thinking of particularly a young black girl from Madera who hated herself so bad. She hated any black female authority figure. She was in my classes. She hated her hair. She hated her skin. And I had to explain to this little girl, I said, darling, whatever hair is on your head is good hair. If you are not bald or suffering from an illness, you know, you are blessed and people love you and care about you, you know. And I had to do the tough love thing because I refused to yell at this child. I refused to cuss this child. You know, I could not hug this child because that would have been inappropriate so far as, you know, social guidelines in a classroom. But I did have to follow the rules with this girl and just tell her, you know what, I don't know you and you don't know me, but I love you. And I'm going to keep loving you. I don't care how much you cuss me. You know, I don't care what you do. I'm not going to let you act out of my classroom because you're disrupting others.
Right.
But you are loved, period, end of story.
And I think even sometimes the parents have to be reaffirmed that their kids are good. I know there's been numerous times that I've been, you know, called, you know, I have five children, you know, two grown sons and a couple of teenagers. And anytime I've been contacted by the school, it was always about something negative, you know, other than if they got an award during the quarterly awards, you know, that was the only like positive reinforcement. But, you know, it was always calling, saying something negative. So I would see parents, black parents, you know, get on their kids, fuss at their kids. The black parent is upset, in tears. The kid is upset, in tears, thinking that they've done something wrong, that they're inferior some kind of way because they couldn't finish a good test. Or because they may not have understood a math term. And, you know, and to avoid looking like they didn't know, they would act out instead. You know, either being the class clown, being the class bully, like, okay, well, I don't like how this feels, so if you mess with me, you know, I'm on your helmet. or it would, you know, just be being, separating themselves in the classroom, being extremely quiet, extremely to themselves because they didn't want to speak out. So, you know, I worked for Boys and Girls Clubs, and, you know, that was probably the most positive place I've ever worked. Really taught me about youth development. But for me, as a black woman, I use it in with my children and use it in the community and with community youth of color. So one thing that the staff did when I was there at Boys and Girls Club is I said, you know, these students and club members are always getting bad calls. They're getting calls from the principal and the teacher, and everything's always bad. I said, so we're going to take the time. We're not going to make calls about any negative behaviors that we see. We're going to make calls and tell them about the positive things that we saw. Every single parent that we called, and all were parents of color, every single parent that we called said, I have never gotten a call saying that my kid did something good or something positive about my kid. They was like, I just thought you was calling to tell me that they was acting up there at that club. I was about to come up there, drag them out that club, you know, and they just really loved it. And it not only helped us bond with this with the club members, it helped us bond with their families.
Right.
You know, when you're you know, praising somebody's kid and praise somebody for the things that they do, it's a seed. And it really encourages and motivates them. So part of building Black Love is putting those things in place.
Exactly.
That time that you talked about, Mr. Bullock, that conversation and communication that you talked about, just talking to each other, whether it was good or bad, acknowledging it. You know, it's very important for us to acknowledge good and bad, you know.
And being there.
Well, and that's normal. You know, that's normal.
Absolutely.
So just one more time, if we have any callers that would like to join this conversation on Blog Talk, please call in to 1-516-387-1474 to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show, founder Dr. Floyd D. Harris Jr., giving us this platform every Tuesday to talk about Black issues, but with myself and Arlene hosting the show, of course, we're going to put a Black woman spin on the show, and we just really appreciate him for doing what he does and doing it really to build the Black community. Our leaders get a lot of hits and pushback for speaking and speaking truth to power like Dr. Floyd D. Harris Jr. does. But now we're starting to see some of those things he talked about, some of those stances that he talked about coming into play. Starting with the protection of Black people that we are currently seeing.
That.
You know, we're seeing brothers armed.
Absolutely.
And our Black and brown brothers,
not Michigan,
to go out and do a drive-by like the media would like to say, but to protect our elected officials who are being threatened by white supremacy, a woman, the Black Panthers,
to the Black Panthers
escorting a commemorative jog through the neighborhood where Ahmaud
and
was
killed. You have clubs like the Huey P. Newton Gun Club in the South who are protecting their neighborhoods and, you know, buying homes, empty homes, and putting single Black mothers and the homeless Black folks in those homes. These are the kind of things that you hear on mainstream media. These are the kind of things that you hear on this show because we're about uplift and love. We love our Black people, and, you know, our Black people are the only people who get slammed because we say that out loud. That every ethnicity can love and demonstrate that love with their people, but when we do, oh, you know, that's a problem. Well, it's not a problem, and it's
Black Americans, we need to be prepared for and paying attention to. Other races are always going to say the minute that you do not go with, yes, go ahead and mistreat us, when you no longer go with that, they have a problem with that.
They have a problem.
Why you want that to be violent? Why you get to take that approach? You're just going to cause more of a problem. No, what we're going to do is get you up off of us. We can either do it by talking like normal human beings, or we can throw bullets. Like folks do in a war, because that's basically where we're at. And what I've been very impressed with these last couple of days is Black gun clubs throughout the South, throughout the Midwest, throughout the East Coast, they are starting to get more active. They are coming out protecting Black elected officials. They are showing up in places where they know that these people need protection. Sister in North Carolina was just... taken home and back and forth to her office because of the veiled threat of white supremacy.
Wow.
And these young brothers call themselves the Nighthawks, and they have said, we wish they would. Because we are not, and homeboy said it up front, he said, I am not my grandparents' Negro. And I know exactly what he meant.
Yeah.
So, you
those
know,
days are over with.
Some people wouldn't associate a gun with love. You know, why would I bring up a gun or carrying arms on a building Black love? Because historically, we were outnumbered, outgunned, and could not protect the people, the land, our homes that we loved. You protect things that you love, overprotect.
Exactly.
Not
use. Say that again. You protect.
You protect people, land, things that you love.
Yes.
You know, we have our veterans. What are our veterans? They protected this country because they love this country, not because they wanted to go out and just die.
Thank you.
You know. They took out those guns. They killed. They did what they did to protect our country. So they believe. Maybe you don't agree with that.
Yes, we did.
You know, I'm not promoting war, but I do know when you care about something protected, and when historically we've been had that taken away, where we couldn't even protect. Couldn't even protect. We couldn't financially protect because we weren't allowed to own our own businesses. We weren't allowed to sell anything that we grew. We had to sneak and sell things. We had to fish. We had to grow our own crops in our yard just to suffice, because what they gave us was not even barely enough to keep an animal alive.
And that's true. And then when we were free and we could acquire things, if we did too well, then they come to destroy that. Black Wall Street.
Exactly. I was just getting ready to say that.
That's right. And the
theft. You just nailed what I was getting ready to say.
And the theft of black land that people have farms on. You know, we have, black people have lost millions of dollars in land from land theft. You know, and so.
Yes, we have. Over $19 million worth.
That's right. That's right.
And you know, I've never physically hurt a human being. Not seriously, but. And I definitely promote violence, you know, with my children. But I do promote my children to stand. And you better believe that if I felt that my children, my life, my family's life was in danger, and I had a gun and used a gun, I would, you know, blow your brains out trying to harm or kill or come after me and my family.
That's
so I believe everything has a time and a purpose. And so I have been elated, it's been refreshing to see our black men taking up arms for a cause that is meant to protect black lives
absolutely.
And brown lives.
Absolutely. Black lives matter. They always have. And we are going to take care of our own. The Panthers were right. Stokely Carmichael was right. Fear of a black nation is real. And it's important for us to start talking about on the West Coast black gun clubs. The NRA has seen a dip in their membership, but black gun clubs are exploding all over the country. And so West Coast, we need to be talking about this, especially in an area like the Central Valley. So, you know, for those of us...
Right here in Fresno.
Those of us who are interested in that, y'all can hit me up on Facebook. But anyway, just real...
So along with, you know, black love, what does black love look like? We don't want just black love, but healthy love, because you can love too much. You know, some people that say, you know, I love you so much, I can't bear to see you with anybody else, even at the cost of your life and my life. You know, so it can be anything in too much. It can be bad for you, too much sugar. You know, too much anger. You know, and the same thing with loving in an unhealthy manner. So, I'm just gonna just go over just a few attributes of healthy, of what a healthy relationship looks like, what healthy love looks like. And I provided the link if you wanted to, you know, go through the link.
This has been a great show. I'm all jazzed now. I've learned a lot.
So what I'm reading from is the joinonelove.org, signs of a healthy relationship. And, of course, you can, you know, go on, think of things. I really like framing in what is unhealthy, you know, because often people talk about what is unhealthy before they really have processed what is healthy, because, you know, love can make you blind, you know. And when you first meet a person, all these different hormones and chemicals are going that really blocks out your common sense and puts a like veil over your eyes until you've taken the time without being physically intimate or having a child within that time or becoming a parent within that time to get to know that person.
So that's blind, deaf, and dumb.
So what it says is, what the relationship should bring out the best in you. It should make you feel good about yourself. A healthy relationship doesn't mean it's perfect, because no relationship is perfect. And no one is 100% healthy all of the time. But the signs below are some behaviors. So I'm going to just go to each one.
I'm an old head, and I'm paying close attention.
Okay, so it should be at a comfortable pace when it's healthy. And we're not just going to say this in an intimate, you know, in an intimate relationship, but with one another, your relationship with your coworker, your relationship with your family, the relationships that you make in the community. What is health? What's healthy look like? Number one, it should be at a comfortable. Number one, it should be at a comfortable pace.
Exactly.
Hold on, Jess. Could you go ahead and read?
Okay, let's see. The relationship moves at a speed that feels enjoyable for each person. It's normal to want to spend a lot of time with someone when you first meet them, but it's important that you're both on the same page with how the relationship is moving. In a healthy relationship, you're not rushed or pressured in a way that makes you feel overwhelmed. And I think that is so important.
Very much so.
So we're basically, that's talking about balance. And I think Sister Maria said earlier, having a balance is important. And the caller talked about, you know, sharing the good and the bad with one another and being supportive of that. And that is setting a comfortable space in which to share with one another. So that was number one, the comfortable pace.
Sorry about that, you guys. So trust is the second one. Eileen went over the first one. Trust is the second one. Confidence. And you build trust by honesty, being honest with one another.
Right.
Forget it.
Okay.
Without honesty, you don't have
anything to hurt you or ruin your relationship.
Oh.
In a healthy relationship, trust comes easily. And you don't question, you do not question the other person's intentions or whether they have your back. So we talked about on one of Dr. Harris' Black Lives Matter show about having each other back. Like, how do we build in our community? First of all, we have to have each other's back. You have to know if you go mess with this person, then you're going to have to deal with 10 other people. It's not just this person you're messing with. So that part of it, I have your back. I can trust you. You know, slavery ruined that I have your back.
Yes,
mentality, you know, it was everybody for themselves, survival, sneaky, having to just witness things that just tore your spirit down. So trust being a part of a healthy relationship, which involves honesty,
comfortable pace, trust,
and honesty. Honesty is the building blocks to trust. If you lie, it's likely that you won't be in a trusting relationship. Okay? If you lie about where you was, if you lie about Tyrone or Tyrena, whatever you're lying about, you know.
Because it always comes out, y'all. You know.
And in the community setting, if you're not honest and transparent with people that you're working with, we got to know that when we sit at the table together as Black folks, that our ideas are going to stay at that table. And the only times those ideas are going to get taken from that table is when we strategically plan on what part each person is going to play and go out and do.
That is Black love right there. That, and we don't always
have
every little point, but we have to be willing to cover each other the same way that Sister Maria has just outlined. Honesty, that's number three.
Independent.
Without honesty, you don't have anything.
Control folks. controlling people is not healthy. And it's not healthy in an intimate relationship. It's not healthy in a business relationship. It's not healthy in a community relationship. And it's not healthy as a race to try and control someone. So independent. You have to have space for yourself outside of the relationship. The relationship should not be your whole life. Just like activism, even though it takes up a lot of our lives, a lot of our time, it should not be our whole lives. Your workplace should not be your whole life, you know.
You need balance,
and you need something outside of any type of relationship
That's right,
to have time for hobbies, family, friends, Or just something, just even if you want to just be to yourself.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, but going back to what you said about honesty, the thing about honesty is, and what you said about controlling, if you don't be honest, you're really not doing anybody any good. That whole relationship is built on a lie.
Yep.
Right.
It's not fulfilling. And one of the reasons that if you ever notice, say like, and I know some of you have seen this dynamic in your family. One of the reasons that you always get some folks in your family that's rather controlling is because, unfortunately for Black folks, it's always been that way. You've always had two or three people who feel like they have to run everything. Because if I don't do it, it ain't going to get done. Now, I wouldn't mind if Sally did it, but if Sally do it, Sally ain't going to do it right. So, therefore, it's left up to me.
Oh, dang, you're making me feel bad. Because now it sounds like you're talking about me. Are you personally attacking me, Mr. Bullock?
But I'm just saying. You are talking to a brother who has several sisters, who has many female relatives, and I'm stuck in the middle. So there are times when, and we know this to be true, because of the way things went down in slavery, Black women tend to take the lead and step out front because, unfortunately, most of us have either been lynched, incarcerated, or murdered.
Right. Not because we want to be superwoman. We didn't build that cape.
You are what was left.
And discrimination.
Yeah, you are what was left. Because they did away with the Black men. They sold us off. They killed us off. They ran us off the war. They did whatever they can to separate us, which goes back to that divide between the Black man and the Black woman.
Well, we're working
on that. We've got a lot of unnecessary help.
We're working on deconstructing that.
Yeah, we're working on that right now. So we're writing up with number
five. But what I'm saying is we've had a lot of unnecessary help that we never did need.
Yeah. All right.
So number five, respect. In a healthy relationship, you value one another's beliefs and opinions and love one another for who you are as a person. Just like Aileen just mentioned that, you know, we don't have to agree in order to still practice that respect towards one another. So you don't have to feel like me. You know, you feel comfortable setting boundaries and are confident that the other person will respect those boundaries. They cheer for you when you are achieving something. What Aileen brought up earlier, like, why do we knock each other down instead of supporting one another? It has to do with respect. They cheer for you when you achieve something and support your hard work and dreams and appreciate you. Support your hard work and dreams. They support your vision. They support what you're doing, and they appreciate you. And they show it with consideration.
Right.
They show it with, maybe it could be gifts, you know.
Hey, cooking dinner because you get home first and the other person is not home yet. And, you know, it's funny we're talking about this because I don't want to just say in our culture, but in some cultures, it's looked on as weak if you compliment each other too much or you say, I love you too much, or, you know, you hug the other person too much. And I don't think you can love somebody too much that way. Just like I don't think when children are small, you can give them too many hugs or too much love. You don't want them to be weak. On the other hand, you want them to know that they are loved every second of every day, every minute. So, but that's just my opinion. Okay, child psychologist, people don't.
Talk to Joy One Love.
That's right. So, Korea did number five, respect.
Yeah,
so.
Respect. And then equality.
All right,
now. I like
this.
That word, equality.
Equality.
Yes. And let's remember, we're not just putting this in the scope of an intimate relationship.
No.
This is in the scope of us building as a people, as a community,
people.
As a family. There needs to be some equality. And we know that is our biggest thing, seeking equality, which we equate to justice. So justice and equality, to me, are synonymous, are nearly the same.
They go hand in hand.
Yes, the relationship feels balanced. And we don't feel that in America. We don't feel that the relationship is balanced for Black people. And everyone puts in the same effort into the success of the relationship.
Hello.
You don't let one person's preferences and opinions dominate. And instead, you hear each other out. You hear each other out and make compromises when you don't want the same thing.
Right.
You feel like your needs, wishes, interests are just as important as the other person's. Sometimes you might put in more money, time, emotional support than your partner and vice versa. But the outcome always feels equitable and even.
Balance.
So that balance that we've been talking about.
Right. That's so important.
Kindness.
Oh.
A little bit of kindness goes a long way.
Goes a long way.
So be kind to one another. How often are we mean to one another? I know during the mayoral race, kindness just went out the window. Like people that we didn't even know felt some kind of way or
told us.
Yeah, you know, they didn't do it with kindness. You can even tell somebody that you disagree with them or don't particularly like what they're involved in with kindness. I've worked with high-risk youth. I've worked with gang members. I've worked with people who have kill folks. And, you know, but the one thing that made them never, I think so far, has made us have a respectful relationship was I didn't disrespect them and I practiced kindness because I knew that's something that they didn't get enough of.
Right.
So a kindness is you are caring and empathetic, not sympathy, not feeling like, oh, you so, I feel so sorry for you, but you are caring and empathetic to one another and you provide comfort and support. In a healthy relationship, the other person will do things that they know will make you happy.
Yes.
Kindness should be a two-way street. It's given and returned in your relationship. You show compassion for the other person and the things they care about. Mm-hmm. And so in the context of Black people in the community, just doing for one another, those small things, carrying the bags, checking on the neighbors, some things that we've reinforced during the pandemic, looking out for each other.
Looking out for each other. And this is important because Sister Maria talked about, you know, you can do too much for people sometimes. Y'all know who and what energy vampires are, where they suck you dry. That is not a healthy relationship. It's not.
And taking responsibility. Owning your actions and words.
Mm.
You avoid placing blame and are able to admit when you make a mistake.
Hello.
You genuinely... I should highlight this word. You genuinely apologize when you've done something wrong and continually try to make positive changes to better the relationship. White folks have, and white power has not ever taken responsibility for what they've done wrong, and they have not continually worked to make positive changes. So we have to create that first within our own circles, our own communities, our Black families, our Black circles, our Black communities, and take that back and say, you know what? We're going to take responsibility for what we can do and
right.
some of the things that have been torn down. And maybe it was systemic, and a lot of times it is systemic racism, but how can we, you know, start building and taking responsibility to make things better and to improve?
Mm-hmm.
Healthy conflict.
Exactly.
You don't have to agree about everything. But this is the key to a healthy relationship, even when you don't agree.
Fighting fair.
Openly and respectfully discussing issues and confronting disagreements non-judgmentally. Yeah. How many times have we been in a public circle a political circle or a council meeting when things are not confronted in a respectful manner and disagreements are judgmental, you know. So that's like I said, this is not just a healthy relationship incident. This is how we interact with each other, with other races, which I hate using races because we know that's not a natural thing and it was, you know, made up out of slavery and to divide.
True.
Conflict is a normal and expected part of any relationship. I don't know how many times I've said that these politicians, instead of embracing their critics, they get defensive and automatically want to dismiss their critics. And their critics are really showing them a roadmap of how to make things better, even though it can come off harsh.
Exhibit A, the president walked out of a press conference because he did not like the question an Asian reporter was asked. That was not
right.
That was not a healthy way to.
Not a good look.
So we're going on to number
10. Number 10. Oh, this one is the one I love, and I really believe that Black people do a good job of this one. Number 10, the one you probably didn't expect because it sounds so heavy, healthy relationship, it sounds so heavy, right? But fun.
Yeah.
A really small three-letter word, fun. You enjoy spending time together, and you bring out the best in each other.
Yes.
Yeah. A healthy relationship should feel easy and make you happy. You shouldn't be working so hard at trying to get this acceptance, whether it's an intimate relationship or in a public. You know, we shouldn't be working hard to, like, oh, I got to change this about me. I got to do that, and I got to be serious, and I can't, you know, have a sense of humor, and I can't have fun because, you know.
Because we always have fun at places like Freedom School, even in the Bay Oral Race, when we were hanging out together working on stuff, we always had a good time.
You had to make time for fun.
We had to make time for fun.
You had to, like, forcefully squeeze fun in sometimes.
And how many Black families do you know that could have their own TV show like The Wayans?
Right.
I mean, really.
Right.
I know my family in San Francisco was hilarious. We kept each other in stitches just telling family stories and being there. So I can totally relate to number 10.
Yeah, so, you know, when you're having fun, you should be able to let loose. You should be able to laugh together. You should be able to be yourself, not put on airs. The relationship doesn't have to bring your mood down, but it cheers you up. No relationship is fun 100% of the time, but the good times should definitely outweigh the bad. If we had red bees representing a unhealthy relationship and white bees representing a healthy relationship, and we just had them in a jar, those white bees should outnumber those red bees. And if you have a jar full of red bees which represent unhealthy weather, across the board, different types of relationships, then those are red flags, you know, and you have to evaluate whether that relationship is worth the energy and the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so also pushing things out that are unhealthy and addressing those things. Red bees can be eliminated, and to me, those are getting help with those things. So maybe you have a red bee because you anger easily, or you know you have problems expressing yourself or communicating. Those are things you can work on. It's nothing
that can't be
that you can't work on while you are alive.
That's true.
And you got breath in your lungs.
That's true. Every relationship is not like important. I mean, sometimes we do certain things with certain people, and that's the gist of that friendship. Like, you know, you play tennis with one person, and you might embroider or do sewing with another person, you know, but you want those same relationships to be healthy. You don't want them to be a drag on your psyche and your heart and mind.
So why are we taking the time to talk about the Black Superwoman and the health risk that comes with that title of Black Superwoman, and where is Black Superman looking for that man to come in and lift some of the load off of the superwoman so she can be a woman. You know, when, why are we talking about black love and healthy relationships? Why don't we talk about this when we could be talking about the pandemic, when we could be talking about police brutality, when we could be talking about white supremacy, when we could be talking about all the horrible things that are being, for black people, it's always existed, but, you know, now it's coming out in the light because of social media and media in general, just like the pictures of the water hoses and, you know, came out during Martin Luther King and exposed, and they attacked young people and exposed to all of America on the TV what was going on and how black folks were being treated just for standing peacefully. Right. No weapons, standing peacefully, just like this jogger was jogging peacefully. Mm.
Yes, this young man.
So why are we talking about healthy relationships in the middle of this ugly pandemic and everything? Why do we bother talking about love and relationships and building up black community and black people?
I think it's because love is the foundation block. It's the foundation for every other thing that happens in our lives and in our community. You know, it's what gets me up in the morning. It's what propels me to take care of my mom and, you know, the rest of my family and my family and friends. I mean, it's important, and it's important to recognize the love that I need to have for myself, because a lot of times it's easy to be critical. So that's my opinion about why it's important that we're talking about this. So, Sister Marie, what you think?
Well, for me, it's important to talk about because I think it's assumed that we just already know and we just don't want to do it, or we can't do it, or we're not capable of having healthy black love, healthy black families, healthy black relationships, healthy black communities. You know, I think it's just expected that, you know, we know it, but we're just not following the plan.
Or the pathology, my $10 word for today, the pathology of black lives is so tragic.
Yes.
That, you know, we don't have healthy relationships. We're getting beaten, or we're getting stabbed, or we're getting shot, or our kids are getting, you know, molested. That can happen in any ethnicity. We are just like everybody else, and I'm saying that really we're stronger and better. Why? Because of all that we have survived.
Yeah, so I just think it's important to put information out there, to talk. And if nothing else, whether you agree or disagree or don't care what I'm talking about, if you listen in and if you any parts of the show, then I'm just hoping that our listeners and viewers walk away and they're thinking.
Right.
Maybe something moved you to upset you, you know, and you start exploring and processing why did that upset me.
Right.
You know, maybe it's something that made you feel good because you didn't know, you know, and it empowers you and gives you that motivation. So I believe whether the feelings are in favor of or not in favor of, it still is making you feel.
Yes.
It's making you think. It's making you process. And it's making you know it's possible to rebuild what has been dismantled.
Absolutely. So when Sister Maria was talking earlier about what can we do now, this is my thing. And this is something that I had to learn the hard way, is forgiveness. Because when you are angry and holding a grudge, or, you know, feeling vengeful against somebody, and I'm talking about on a personal level, a friend or a family member, that family member probably has no idea about how you feel unless you're venting it. Otherwise, you're just dragging around a big burden that you don't need. Let it go. If you need to contact that person, cool. If you don't want to contact that person, write them a letter, but don't mail it. Write them a letter. It's very therapeutic. And just get it out. And you will feel a 100-pound burden lifted off yourself with that forgiveness. To me, forgiveness is part of self-love as well, because you're letting it go with the other person and you're healing yourself, truly.
Now, the building, the black healthy communities, relationships, families, we need our professionals.
Yes, you do.
We need our black psychologists. We need our black family therapists. We need our black doctors. We need our black nutritionists. We need our Black social workers to come in and really start helping the healing process.
Amen.
You know, in our communities. We need our Black organizations to come together. I've been doing nonprofit work for since I was 17 years old. You know, I worked for nonprofits and worked in the community with community families. And I know so many awesome programs. And, you know, I see money as a divide a lot of times that, you know, they divide us with money. Mm. Almost sort of like in slavery where, you know, they try to divide, okay, well, to get favor from the master, you know, just go against this person or say something about that person. You know, we call them house Negroes, but I'm not trying to divide tonight. No. Not trying to call out house Negroes, field Negroes, no Negroes, but I'm just saying, you know, those are things in place that we still deal with those dynamics. So what I would really, really just love to see is our Black organizations like coming together and having a big picture. And we can do that at a table where it's discreet. We don't have to let everybody know our plans, but we need the buy-in. We need us to sit down. And we saw in the healthy relationships that conflict, some of these things are going to be inherently there.
But we have to fight fair if we're going to have those kind of conflicts. We're not going to leave the table and be talking, you know, trash about somebody later.
Yes.
What Sister Maria is saying is so relevant right now because I would love to see those organizations, those groups, those individuals sitting down and forming a community center like Central La Familia that focuses on Black people, not turning anybody else away, but the focus. When you say Central La Familia, you already know who you're talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we need that same thing. We need domestic violence shelters past Marjorie Mason, even though it's named after a sister. We can talk about what happens inside, you know, at a different time. But anyway, these are the things we need in our community. And this is where the healing continues, the rebuilding continues. And we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time we want to move forward in our communities.
Right.
Black Wall Street was decimated and destroyed. And what's in its place now? Did it ever come back? It's like redevelopment decimated Southwest Fresno, it's never come back. So let's build something now in the 21st century so that in 2025, when people talk about Southwest Fresno and Black people, they can say, you know what, they started this in 2020 and now look at it.
Right. Buying land, building on that land, growing on that land, educating on that land, you know, building our subset schools. Bringing in programs and all the nonprofits. It's not one nonprofit I don't know that could have a role in a bigger picture.
This is a big tent kind of deal, folks.
Yeah.
This is what the sister's talking about, and she makes perfectly good sense. This is something that we can do in Fresno. And those organizations who are getting grant money or federal funds from wherever, think about expanding your program to include other folks, and let's make this kind of thing happen. You know, I'm going to be my life is more behind me than ahead of me. So I hope to be looking down from heaven, seeing how much has been accomplished, because I know we are a mighty people, and I know we're a loving people.
And why not this generation? Why not
why
now?
Not?
You
why
know,
not?
Is that the conditions we're starting to see that conditions haven't changed, you know,
and
especially with this pandemic, that we're even more of a target, you know, so why not now? Why can't we start changing with this generation?
We can do it. The technology is there. I can't run it, but smart sisters like Sister Maria and Reverend Harris and, you know, Brother Tony Bullock, people who are really good with technology can help the rest of us who are, you know, like challenged.
And help.
And help.
You know, supporting one another, really pushing one another. You know how to start a nonprofit and you know someone that wants to start one. Don't say, well, yeah, you got to go through the same thing I went through. No, you know, and these provide an outline. These are the things you want to have in place. You know, just that kind of support, not knocking each other, knowing that we all have our different struggles and challenges. So, it starts with love. It starts with seed of love.
It does.
You know, and love really does conquer all, but love is an action. It's not a word. It's an action that involves a lot. Healthy relationships is not just a regular any old relationships. It's something that you put effort and thought and consideration into
love
to build.
That's powerful stuff right there. Love is an action. It is.
So we are winding down. I wanted to be able to share some news, but I've been like really super busy today, and really just wanted to get the show together.
I'll give you a news tidbit. Today, the people who want the city to open back up, they attacked Miguel Arias' house. They attacked Lee Brand's house.
They got the mayor, too? Wow.
You know what? You know, we go hard on our elected officials, making sure that they are accountable, but I couldn't believe that Miguel Arias got some charges for that. Like, he got charges for protecting his body.
He's just trying to protect his residence.
His land. I'm serious. This is one time that I would not mind getting behind and saying, "You, all those charges need to be dropped against him, and the charges need to be pressed on the intruders and the trespassers."
Yeah, I got a problem with that one myself. There should be no charge pressed against this man.
No
charges. Those charges should be dropped. Now, I don't really know what all happened to Brand, but I know that Gail got some charges for, to me, what should equate to self-defense.
Yes.
So I'm telling you, if y'all make the wrong move on Miguel for defending himself against white supremacist people that were coming to, what did he know if they were coming to harm
That's
him?
Right.
But
he
had the right to defend
himself
and his family.
That's
so, Miguel, I'm behind you on this one.
I'm with you, y'all.
And I hope other folks get behind you because we should not feel scared, intimidated, or threatened in our place or anywhere else.
And thanks for sharing that, Brother Bullock. You know, I really think just the fact that they're opening up these parks and these open spaces and slowly opening up the city, I'm just asking Black and Brown folks, especially Black and Brown folks, to think about this. Make sure you suit up when you leave your house. Have your mask. Have your gloves. Think about where you're going. And if you can stay home, stay home. What they're saying.
Exactly. Let's use some common sense.
That's use your common sense. That's right. I have a very, very, elderly mom, and I worry just going to shop for her sometimes. Am I bringing back something that's going to ultimately harm her or my great niece? So we have to be mindful of that. And Brother Bullock, thank you so much for sharing that information.
Oh, not a problem.
Yes, sir.
So
we are winding down. End tonight's show. Next week we'll be talking about our Black youth. You know, often they are put down and criticized, and really their lives are probably regarded as less valuable as Black people in general, as our Black youth. You know,
especially if they can't vote.
Yeah. So how do we give them hope? How do we build that perception? And then these are just discussions. These discussions need to go from Blog Talk, and they need to be in a formal setting where we dive deeper into strategizing the actions that we want to take, you know, as Black folks, Black and Brown, to come together, especially because I always say this is the Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show, and while we know all lives matter, we understand that this show focuses on the issues affecting and compoundly affecting Black people. So
we're unapologetically Black, y'all.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
So next week we'll be talking about Black youth and how do we get the word out? How do we build that hope in them? I've worked with youth and youth development once again since I was 17, and I know we got a lot to fix and a lot to work on with our youth, but I'm just maybe foolish enough to believe that we can do it.
Oh, I know it can be done. Like I said, I worked with Up and Down in the early 90s. I was there for 3 years, And there is so much potential in this valley. It is just staggering. And anybody who says it is not is lying. And I'm not just talking about people like Audra McDonald. God bless her heart. She is wonderful. I'm talking about the rank and file Black and brown and poor white youths that are in this, but especially the Black youths, because they're mine.
Yes,
well,
in the middle of education opportunities, job training opportunities for our youth. So I'll definitely talk about that. And anybody else that has resources, I'm really, you know, I was talking to someone about, you know, how we used to have summer youth jobs, and that basically enabled, you know, I don't know how many, countless households to be able to afford the help to pay a bill.
Yep.
Or get school clothes. And, you know, and I was talking to this individual about how that dropped up, and they said, well, no, you know, it's jobs out there, but the Black youth don't come and take advantage of the opportunities. Well, I know a lot of Black youth that would take advantage of job opportunities if they know about them.
If
they are guided, because a lot of times we throw information at people and we expect them to catch it and run with it.
Exactly.
When really we shouldn't be throwing information at them. We should be walking them through this process. So we have one more caller that we're going to take before we end the show. Caller 4277.
4277. Wow, I can't believe I got into my own radio show.
Dr. Yay! Yay! You made it onto your own show.
I've been trying for 3 weeks to get into my own radio show.
Yeah, we discussed the hot topics. It's hard to get into this show. Especially my technical difficulties.
And I'm no help to a folks, so.
Well, let me say, let me say that you all are doing a beautiful, excellent job. I mean, I really just tip my hat to you and Aline and all of the listeners, Brother Tony, and you know, all of them that are watching live stream.
That's wonderful.
Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, we're at a critical time right now in society right now, when it comes to dealing with our people right now. I believe that history is trying, I'm going to use the word trying, to repeat itself. And you know, we really have to look at things from a historical standpoint. And those that know me know that I teach from a historical standpoint to bring it up from the past to present. If you don't understand the past, if you don't understand how Black people built over 30 towns in this country after slavery, when you don't understand that our people invented everything in this country for those to benefit, those to take our inventions and to make money. We come from a people, kings and queens of a people who believed in excellence, believed in family values. When we look at the Moors, as Aline spoke last week, very, very just on point about how they were teachers and taught white folk that you don't live in a house with chickens. You don't live in a house with cows. You don't live with animals. See, it was Black people who were the teachers of the civilization that that's on this planet now. But yet, when we look at society now, we see that we are the ones on the short end of the stick. And so when we start talking about Black love, and we start talking about building Black community, it comes with much sacrifice. It comes with blood, sweat, and tears. This generation really don't understand what blood, sweat, and tears is. When we go to this educational system that teaches us go to school, get education, and get a good job, other words, it's saying be a slave. It's not a chance to be an entrepreneur. When you're an entrepreneur, then you control the destiny of your community. You control the politics of your community. And everything that Malcolm X said is coming to light. When Malcolm said the chickens are coming home to roost, they're coming home to roost now. And so I think that what we see that's going on with a president that's talking about let's make America great again, it never was great. And so so don't allow people to sell you a cup of tea for a cup of urine. Understand where we're at right now in the society, and that we as black people have to start investing in us. Not saying we don't love and care for other folk, but what we have to understand is that other folk is loving themselves first. Then they might love us if there's room for that. Am I right or wrong about that? And so look at our community, we have to understand that Black Wall Street was built by black people. And we have to understand that Black Wall Street was an economic piece that was supposed to have been passed down to us.
Generational wealth.
But it wasn't passed down to us. It was destroyed by the U.S. government, the angry white folk, Ku Klux Klan. And so all the things that our ancestors built for us did not get to us. But so we have to go back in history and read and understand what did they do. They had unity. They had love.
Mm-hmm.
They embraced one another. They encouraged one another. You know, if you didn't have no sugar and I had some sugar, I gave you some sugar.
That's
so
right.
These are the things that we have to get back, just the fundamental things of life. And so as I told Marina today, that when you're in leadership, it's a lonely road. It's a lonely road. But yet, the Creator stands with you. Because I think that we spend more time wanting people to praise us and lift us up and pat us on the back. You have to go out and do what your purpose for this time is. Dr. King loved black people. He loved all people, but he loved black people because he was black first. How can we love another ethnic first when we don't love us first? So don't let people trick us today to making us think because we love ourselves first and we want to do for ourselves first and we want to build our community first that we don't care about you. Don't let nobody fake the funk on you, okay, because you have to understand that you have to love your black self first. Now, if I was at church on Sunday, I would tell Gacy, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, love your black self first, okay, before you love someone else. And so we have to move forward. We see that people are killing our babies all over the country now. We see that black men are stepping up.
Yes.
Not just with a Bible. They're not stepping up with a Bible. They're stepping up with ammunition because we're going to fight fire with fire. And that's, and that's how we have to do it now. Yes, we'll pray. Yes, we'll do all that stuff. But now's the time where black men, if we love our children, if we love our black women, if we just love us, then we're going to have to be willing to die for that. And if you're not willing to die for black love, then you're really an infidel. That's just straight up. You know, that's like in football, it's a 32 power right up the middle. If you're not willing, and I'm talking about black men and black, if you're not willing to die for your black community and your black self and your black babies and your black nephews, nieces and aunties and grandmas and grandpas, then, as Dr. King said, you're not fit to live. Listen, I'm going to let y'all go. Y'all done heard enough from me. Y'all done said everything tonight. I'm just happy. Man, I tell you, I'm sitting here listening to y'all, and I'm like, wow. I said, they don't know how much pressure they take off me just for me to get a little break. And I say, y'all just shooting off like a rocket. And I mean, I'm, you know, I had some, y'all talking about y'all had some technical difficulty over here. And I'm like, oh my God. But we kept it rolling, you know what I'm saying? So y'all don't give up. Y'all keep fighting. Y'all keep the movement going, you know? When Dr. King got assassinated, the movement don't die. It gets stronger. Now, look, yeah. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let y'all go. Because, you know, in church, preachers are saying my conclusion, and we'll say that about 10 times if we still talk.
Now, exactly.
We'll say that 10 times tonight.
In my conclusion.
Some fool out there hollering, preach, Reverend, preach.
We talk about don't say that 10 times.
Dr. Black Lives
Christian show. Yeah.
And
no
time to go.
I had to preach last Sunday, you know, it was Mother's Day Sunday, and people, you know, it was, you know, in my church, we preach on signs, you know, and when I see starting to look at their wrist, their watch, and kind of, you know, do a little fake yarn, you know, but yet they're looking at their watch, and I was like, okay, I seen this brother over looking at his watch. Okay. All right. Sister's getting up with her hand in the air. Okay. But in my conclusion, all right. Now, Gremlins, and this is what we have to do. In the movie Gremlins, there was a message in the movie Gremlins.
Mm.
But I can't think of the name of those bad gremlins. But what I do know is when those gremlins got wet, what did they do? They multiplied.
Yeah, they did.
We have to multiply.
Yeah.
The Black Panther Party. Yeah. We have to multiply the Deacons of Defense. We have to multiply the Megan Everts. We have to multiply Shirley Chisholms. We have to multiply Fannie Lou Hamers. We have to, and I can just keep going and going and going and going. But we have to multiply our black sales for liberation in 2020. Because if we don't, we're going to be exterminated. We're going to be 6 feet under the ground, and we're going to have everybody. Just look at our community now. So I just said in my conclusion. But look at our community now. We don't own, black folk don't own no stores in the historical part of West Fresno.
That's true.
We don't own not one store.
Right.
We don't even own, look at this. On Sunday morning, you could drive by every church. And when you drive by a church, they drive in cars that have tires on there.
Mm.
We don't even have a
ain't
black
no
tire
stores on the west side.
We don't have a black tire shop that can fix black cars, huh? You see what I'm saying? So when we start talking about the economic piece, it's very easy to see what we don't have. Easier for us to come to the table and sit down and say, "Hey, how can we build?" Make a plan, come up with a plan to employ the people in our community, but still provide services for our people in our community. See, then your people will respect you. See, these are the ethics that's in Fresno. They laughing at us. They got their little six-year-old kid at the cash register taking your money. They own all of the service stations. They own everything. I'm not upset at them for that. The Arabs and the Mugs and all of that. We got a problem as black people.
And all those cultures were brought in and put in power on our side of things.
Together and stop this crawdad mentality in the city, then we can build wealth and opportunity for our children. That's the end of my conclusion, and I'm out.
All right, bro.
Great.
Wow.
Well, thank you for chiming in and getting into your own show today. You inspire us. You inspire a community, and I know you don't always feel that, but it's we know it.
We know it.
and like I said, and we know it's there. I have one more video, and this is, you know, Reverend Harris introduced me to, just sent me a few things about David Banner, and so he did a piece on just vision, you know, and what it would take. So I'm just going to find that link, and because it's short, and just end our show, if I can find it, end our show with that that clip.
Y'all be sure to tune in next week when we're going to be talking about Black youth, because they're going to be our everything in the future.
Yes.
I'm not going to speak in for that one.
Okay, so I'm going to just change over and you guys just view this David Banner video. And then we'll be ending the show. So, let's turn around.
I want to have our shit hidden. People probably not find out about what we do. Can I mean, you know, because building a city for my people. Mm-hmm. And what I learned, and I actually had changed my vision a little bit. We got to be quiet. You know, in our head, we want to pop shit. Black city, all black city, I know. I want to have our shit hidden. People probably not find out about what we do until I'm dead. Because I really believe that there will be no liberation for black people if we don't own water, food, land, hospitals. They'll always be able to treat our people the fucking way that they want to if we don't own things that sustain life. Have you ever noticed we own a million funeral homes? But how many grocery stores do we own?
Right.
Like, they'll let you put a nigga in the ground, but they won't let you keep a God alive. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's my vision. Because, like you, Tommy, my mom told me this, and it shook me. My mom, ever since she was little, you did everything that you told me that you were going to do. So she said, if you know that you have God's favor on you, why don't you dream bigger? If you can do anything you want to do, and I really thought about this, and I'll say the name. That's how I felt about Will Packer, Scott. You know, me and Will started about the same time, but Will's vision was bigger than mine. We had the same work ethic. We put the same time in. I thought about this. Speaking of my, now I wanted to say this. It's crazy how they fool us into wanting to be the best basketball player or the best sports figure or the best rapper. But what if people put that same focus into being the team owner or starting their own NBA? Or imagine somebody with the internal fortitude that Jordan had. Imagine if that motherfucker was a freedom fighter. Mm-hmm. You know, Will wanted to own a movie conglomerate. I wanted to be a rapper. And we both fulfilled our dream. Like, and not even on Front Street. I tell Salih that all the time. I think Salih has the potential to be one of the greatest men that walked this earth. And he said he want to be an A&R. And I'd be like, dog.
I really believe that. That's just the part of it, Dad.
I know that, but I'm just saying in general, like, Will Smith said, if your dream isn't big, if your dream doesn't scare you, it's not big enough.
Mm.
So we have come to the end of Dr. Harris' Black Lives Matter show. Once again, we want to thank Dr. Harris for providing this platform and letting us take over on Tuesday. And he handles our more serious matters, Not that this is not serious, but he brings that current things. People are always coming to him about injustice, sending him clips of injustice, and we expose. And Dr. Harris is not afraid to speak truth to power, and you know, and that's where we start. So we just want to continue this dialogue next week, talking about our Black youth and how do we come together. We can worry about this pandemic all day, but it'll pass. Let us use this as a time that we strategize, plan, and build, and just learn how to love ourselves and love each other and build one another. Black unity is power. Black love is power. So when we're building Black love, we're building Black power.
That's right.
So peace.
Peace.
And Aline, you have any closing?
Stay Black until we get back. We love y'all.
Stay blessed and not stressed.
Stay back and stay proud. Proud to all the people.